Anyway, we've got a long one, so I'm going to cut the banter a little short and dive right
into
the
subject. Fuck cutting the banter. You know what, dude? There was a fucking dude that complained about the banter.
Oh, no, really?
He didn't complain. He was like, oh, yeah, because the last one had very little banter. He was like, oh, yeah, we finally got him to fucking change and shorten the banter.
Oh, well, then fuck that. No,
you know what, though? He was a Monday pleb, so let's do it on Monday. Double dose of banter.
20 minutes of banter on the next show because of him. Find his comments so we can make sure they know who to blame.
I responded to it.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, on the next Monday show, there's going to be 20 minutes of idle chit-chat because of him.
Yeah, the episode should
just be on... everybody can thank him.
The episode should just be on banter, dude.
Yeah, maybe we'll just do an all-banter-sode. The banter-sode. You can thank this guy.
Yeah.
It has no topic. We just kind of have a conversation.
That'd be fun.
We just yammer.
I'd like that.
No research, nothing. We just kind of do like a fucking 2-hour pre-post show of just blah, 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 and then we just end.
Yeah.
That's how it goes.
This is the end.
I actually kind of like that.
And nothing but small talk. Just fucking empty. It can't be anything of substance. It just has to be fucking whatever garbage enters our heads.
We already know you're empty, dude.
Let's talk about one of the most famous depictions of hell in literature. This is Dante's Inferno. It was part one of his epic three-part poem in the 14th century, The Divine Comedy. The poem is told in three parts, Inferno, Purgatorio, and Paradiso. Obviously, we're going to be focused on the Inferno. There's different... His hell also has levels. He has 9 levels, though.
Okay.
So there's 9 levels of hell, and you could see that each is reserved for a specific type of sinner. I always wonder what you do when, like, someone's both, like, what if you're gluttonous and greedy, you know? Do you just kind of, like...
I mean, those are very similar concepts.
Go between the two. I like how they have fucking Scrooge McDuck in here, too.
And what if you're angry, though? You're angry, greedy, gluttonous, lustful?
Maybe they just choose whichever one you had the most of.
Oh, okay. So there's like a scale of which one's the worst.
Yeah, I guess there's some kind of determining factor.
Well, TJ, you're going to be pretty low. Fraud.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. I'm going to be way down at the bottom. Dante's Inferno. Level 1 is Limbo. Everybody limbo.
Limbo always sounds like just boredom.
It pretty much is. It's actually it's a place for the unbaptized. It's a place for virtuous pagans. It's a place for people who were good but didn't accept Christ. It shares many characteristics with the Asphodel Meadows.
Mm-hmm.
Which we learned about in your episode, Paul.
Got it.
Limbo is basically just a crappy heaven. It's not paradise, but it's not really punishment.
You were a good pagan, you know.
It's just like,
you don't go to heaven, but you go
to
limbo.
You're not really a piece of shit, but you didn't really believe in Jesus either, so you go somewhere kind of lame.
So you kind of just get to sit around some rocks and shit.
Yeah, you just kind of chill in a meadow and, you know.
But what, there are other people that were like-minded are there?
Yeah.
That's not too bad.
So there's conversation and all that stuff. And even the poet Virgil, who is one of the narrators other than Dante, is there.
Can you bone down in limbo?
You know, I don't know.
Damn. Hopefully you can.
I imagine you can. I don't see why not.
Man, I'm kind of thinking like limbo sounds better than a lot of the heavens.
Right, because it's just kind of like, you know, you just chill.
Yeah, you get to chill in a meadow and talk with other like-minded people for the rest of your life. That's cool.
Yeah, not too bad.
Maybe get to bone a like-minded chick. Who knows?
Well, you probably, if you're looking to bone, you're probably going to end up in the second level of hell, which is lust.
Oh.
So basically, those who let lust rule over them in life are forever trapped in a great storm that blows them all over the fucking place. Not in a good way. It's not a good blow.
This sounds like kind of fun, honestly.
You're just powerless. Just as you are powerless against the lust in your life, you're thrown about everywhere, wherever the wind wants
you
to
go. What if you have like a storm fetish, though?
There's no rest. There's no reprieve. You just kind of get blown around. And that's why it's only the second level. They kind of say, it's kind of one of the more minor tortures. It's just like, you know, you wanted pussy a little too much. You gotta fucking blow around in the wind.
Right.
Forever, and you don't get to rest. That's it. You know, so it's not, I mean, obviously that would suck, but it's not too bad. You could do worse. And in fact, you can. Then we go to the gluttony level of hell.
Uh-oh.
So in the third circle.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
This doesn't
uh-oh.
Look fun.
Oopsie.
They were coming to Paul's level, dude.
The gluttonous will wallow in a vile, putrid slush produced by a ceaseless, foul, icy rain.
Oh.
A great storm of putrefaction as punishment for subjecting their reason to a voracious appetite. Cerberus, who in this version is literally a three-headed worm, not a dog.
Oh.
The monstrous three-headed beast of hell ravenously guards the gluttonous lying in the freezing mire, mauling and flaying them with his claws as they howl like dogs. So basically you get to lay down in a disgusting, vile, putrid mush while icy rain pours down on you, and if you fucking try to get up, Cerberus rips you fucking all up and makes you howl like a
dude,
dog.
Dude, I'm going to be the Kwisatz Haderach of this fucking level of hell, dude.
You're gonna lead
ride,
these people to freedom?
Yeah, I'm going
to
ride Cerberus out of hell, dude.
Maybe you will.
I'm going to tame the giant fucking shitworm, and we're getting out.
Getting out, y'all.
Dude, see, because there ain't no way, dude. I'm going to be plotting and scheming. I'm going to be meeting with these people. I'm going to be like, stop writhing, you fucking
ready.
Idiot.
Get ready for your putrid slush.
Get out of here, man.
In your fucking cold rain. Icy rain.
Oh, well, that's funny you should say that, Scotty, because I think the next level is for you.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Greed.
Dun, oh, shit, man.
Dun, dun.
Yep. Those whose attitude towards material goods deviated from the appropriate mean are punished in the fourth circle. They include the avaricious or miserly, including many clergymen, popes, and cardinals, because Dante was just like that,
right?
Who hoarded possessions, and the prodigal who squandered them. The hoarders and spendthrifts joust, using as weapons great weights that they can push with their chests. And here they're depicted as giant bags of money. I'll read you a little bit from the poem. Here, too, I saw a nation of lost souls. Far more than were above, they strained their chest against enormous weights and with mad howls rolled them at one another. Then in haste, they rolled them back, one party shouting out, "Why do you hoard?" And the other, "Why do you waste?" So basically, they just kind of like sit around pushing around these giant horrible weights and throwing them at each other. And, you know, when someone grabs their shit, they're like, "Give it back." And when someone... It's basically just like right. a magnification of their greed and their avarice, and
cool.
They're just trapped forever in that cycle. So Scotty's hearing is like, I get a big bag of money.
Yeah, sorry, dude, but I ain't bringing the fucking worm down to this level. We got to go up and out.
Got to go.
There
up
ain't
and
no
out.
Way. You better start getting. You know what? You need to get fat, Scotty.
Maybe Scotty won't go to that level though.
If you know, if he starts now and he gets super duper fat and starts just being a super glutton, then he can come to the same hell as us and we'll ride the worm out.
See this level of hell, Walt. Even if you tried to fucking save us, dude, tried to free us from this, we'd be like, no,
yeah,
get away, this is mine.
Damn.
All right, so the next level is for the wrathful and the angry.
Oh.
So you guys might just go to this
one. Yeah, I might go to this one too, dude.
In the swampy, stinking waters of the River Styx, the actively wrathful fight each other viciously on the surface of the slime, while the sullen, which is the passively wrathful, lie beneath the water withdrawn into a black sulkiness which can find no joy in God or man or the universe.
Damn, okay.
Yeah.
I'm going here.
This is where you are.
Fuck all you idiots fighting on the thing. I'm going to my sulky place because I'm already there. So it's just like, oh.
So, Paul, your plan now is to go to the River Styx and just go descend,
because
sink into the slime and just watch the fight, basically.
I won't deny that I deserve this hell. Like, I'm an angry fuck, but I'm also kind of sullenly angry. So I think I'm going to be the dude that just gets to sink down in the under the muck and watch the
fight.
It's good
that they considered your kind of anger, too, Paul.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're
not just the wrathful anger. It's like Paul's going to be just kind of sullen, like, I hate this fighting. Fuck them. Fuck this shit. I'm just going to sit here and watch.
So they just kind of fight on the surface of the muck, and the sullen people just kind of sink to the bottom and cry.
I actually don't mind that hell. That sounds like a pretty decent hell.
But since we all deny God, we're probably all going to this level of hell.
Oof.
Heresy.
Oh, God.
This is the sixth circle of hell.
What is this?
This is where heretics such as Epicurus and his fucking stupid followers. God damn you, Epicurus! So this whole thing is basically just like, fuck Epicurus.
Right.
Anyone who fucking says that God's a piece of shit, they just end up in these like flaming tombs.
Okay.
You get a tomb and you're on fire and you gotta sit in the fire. And, you know, I guess if somebody comes by to talk to you, you're allowed to come out for a second and say hello and chat for a minute, but then you got to go back to your fiery tome.
Oh.
So there you go. It's a got fun it. Time. So the next level, that's it was very not very much description, because most of this was actually just basically Dante and
fucking on Epicurus.
I don't think he actually talked directly to Epicurus, but he talked to one of his followers, and they kind of just talked to each other, and Dante's like, I'm better than you, you fucking stupid fuck, and that's basically how it went. So, violence, the seventh circle. This one's divided into three rings. Okay?
Okay.
So, ring one is violence against neighbors. So, in the first round of the seventh circle, by the way, all the circles from this point have subsections. Damn. It gets more and more cumbersome. But in the seventh circle, the murderers, war makers, plunderers, and tyrants are immersed in Phlegethon, a river of boiling blood and fire. Ciardi writes, as they wallowed in blood during their lives, so they are immersed in boiling blood forever, each according to the degree of his guilt. By the way, Alexander the Great is there.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so he's no good. The next... I think I need to pull up an image for this, actually. Yeah, hold on. Because it looks like it didn't pull properly when I did it last time.
God damn it, TJ.
The next one is the Forest of the Suicides.
Whoa, it's like isn't this like Japan, dude?
No.
I'm just saying that...
So this is people who are violent against themselves. The second round of the seventh circle is the Wood of Suicides, in which the souls of people who attempted or committed suicide are transformed into gnarled, thorny trees and then fed upon by harpies, hideous clawed birds with the faces of women. The trees are only permitted to speak when broken and bleeding.
Okay.
And basically, the interesting thing about these tree people is they're the only ones who will not be resurrected in the... the day of judgment. They'll go back to earth in their tree forms with their own corpses hanging from their branches.
Oh, damn.
That's fucking... you know what, though? They have a pretty metal ending. They fucking just be like, nope, you tried to kill yourself. You're a fucking tree with your corpse hanging off of you.
Yep. So that's how they go. And then this one here is for those who were violent against God, art, or nature.
Huh.
The third round of the...
A lot of people going to this one.
Yes. The third round of the seventh circle is a great plain of burning sand, scorched by great flakes of flame falling down from the sky. Basically, Sodom and Gomorrah forever. The destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, it just happens ongoing forever. The blasphemers are stretched supine upon the burning sand. The sodomites run in circles.
Uh-oh.
While the usurers, those violent against art, crouch huddled and weeping. So basically, the blasphemers are tied down, the sodomites are running around, and the usurers are crying.
All right, so be a sodomite then.
Paul, would you really want to run for eternity, dude? I don't think you'd really want to do that.
I wouldn't
want
to be strapped to the burning ground for eternity. I'd rather be able to step around like an idiot. Of these idiots.
Well, Paul's trying to fuck each other in the ass, too. They're sodomites. So, I mean, you got to figure that's what the plan is.
So the next level of hell is the frauds.
Oh.
Definitely TJ's section.
The frauds.
TJ's hell.
So the eighth circle is a large funnel of stone shaped like an amphitheater, with around which run a series of 10 deep, narrow, concentric ditches or trenches called bulge. Singular is bulge.
Bulge.
Oh, Malbolgia, dude.
Malbolgia literally means evil ditch.
Sweet.
So the first bulge is for panderers and seducers. These sinners make two files along either bank of the ditch and march quickly in the opposite direction while being whipped by horned demons for eternity.
Oh. Damn.
That's what you get for pandering, Paul.
It's fucking harsh.
Flatterers.
Yeah.
These people are steeped in excrement as they howl and fight amongst themselves. So they basically just have to muck around in shit for eternity. Yep.
Yeah, that seems to be a common one.
Yeah, they're really into shit.
Like having a wallow in filthy water seems to be their thing.
Simoniacs is the next bulge. Simony is basically selling church positions or favors.
Oh, okay.
So these sinners are placed head downward into round tube-like holes within the rock, which is a mockery of a baptismal font, with flames burning the soles of their feet. The heat of the fire is proportionate to their guilt. On the next bolgia are sorcerers. So in the middle of the bridge of the fourth bolgia, Dante looks down at the souls of fortune tellers, diviners, astrologers, and other false prophets. The punishment of those who attempted to usurp God's prerogative by prying into the future is to have their heads twisted around their bodies in a horrible contortion of the human form, and then they're compelled to walk backwards for eternity blinded by their own tears.
Some oddly specific punishments for certain professions, dude.
Yes, and then bariters are bolgia number five. That's corrupt politicians who made money by trafficking in public offices. They're immersed in a lake of boiling tar, which represents the sticky fingers and dark secrets of their corrupt deals.
Wow.
They are guarded by demons called Malbranche, evil claws, who tear them to pieces with claws and grappling hooks if they catch them above the surface of the boiling pitch, which is tar.
Seems fair.
So then bolgia number six is for the hypocrites. So they're given these ornate-looking robes that are actually super heavy and horrible, and they just have to kind of march around wearing these super heavy robes. It's meant to symbolize how they look holy on the outside, but really it's just they're weighted down by the weight of their falsity and lies.
I mean, a lot of people could qualify for that section, too.
Then there's the seventh bolgia, which is for thieves. It's basically filled with reptiles, and the reptiles just bite the fuck out of you. Lizards and snakes bite you and curl themselves around you and choke you.
Damn.
And all that stuff forever and ever. So the next one is called Counselors of Fraud. This is people who give fraudulent advice. They just each get their own personal little flame that burns on them forever. Next is bolgia number nine, Sowers of Discord. So in the ninth bolgia, the Sowers of Discord are hacked and mutilated for all eternity by a large demon wielding a bloody sword. Their bodies are divided as in life their sin was to tear apart what God had intended to be united. So people who go around spreading drama and bullshit are going to get chopped up forever by demons.
Right.
Seems fair enough, actually. And then finally, the 10th bolgia, falsifiers. The final bolgia of the 8th circle is home to various sorts of falsifiers. A disease on society, they are themselves afflicted with different types of afflictions, horrible diseases, stench, thirst, filth, darkness, and screaming. Some lie prostrate while others run hungering through the pit, tearing each other to pieces.
Wow. That one sounds kind of epic.
Humans get torn up a lot in hell, I've noticed.
Like, yeah, they really rip you apart quite a bit.
You have to get ripped apart in hell. You have to fight a lot, and you have to get ripped apart a lot.
Yeah, that's kind of what you do. It's kind of like a really intense mosh pit.
Occasionally, demons make appearances to whip or hit you or something. You know, it's like, oh, we're going to whip you.
So then there's level 9 of hell.
Oh, shit, dude.
This is where the traitors go. This is treachery. And you think it'd be hot, but it's actually icy in this level of hell. Trapped in the ice, each according to his guilt, are punished sinners guilty of treachery against those with whom they had special relationships. The lake of ice is divided into four concentric rings. So the first ring is Cana, named after Cain, who killed his brother, as we all know. This round houses traitors to their kindred. So betraying your family will end you up here.
Right.
They have their necks and hands out of the ice and are allowed to bow their heads, allowing some protection from the freezing wind. Then there's round two, which is Antenora, which basically is the same. It's basically traitors to their country. They still get to have their heads out of the ice, but they can't bend them. So there's no protection from the icy wind.
Okay.
And then round three is Tolmea, which is named after Ptolemy, who invited his father-in-law, Simon Maccabeus, and his sons to a banquet and then killed them. This is traitors to their guests. They lie supine in the ice while their tears freeze in their eye sockets, sealing them with small visors of crystals. Even the comfort of weeping is denied them.
Damn.
And then there's the final round, which is Judeca, of course named after Judas.
Right.
This is where you're just frozen solid under the ice for all time. You're just totally encapsulated in freezing ice, and your body is just super cold, and you can never escape it forever and ever. And then, at Hell's heart, there is Lucifer.
Dun,
dun. Da Lactos Dominos. So this is the center of Hell, and also the center of the Earth. Lucifer is imprisoned. Condemned for committing the ultimate sin, personal treachery against God, is the devil, referred to by Virgil as Dis. The arch-traitor Lucifer was once held by God to be the fairest of the angels before pride led him to rebel against God, resulting in his expulsion from heaven. Lucifer is a giant, terrifying beast trapped waist-deep in the ice, fixed and suffering. He has three faces, each a different color, one red, one pale yellow, and one black. And you'll see there he's eating some people. The people he's chewing on are Judas, Brutus, and Cassius, famous traitors. Two of whom participated in, of course, the assassination of Julius Caesar, and the other,
which was apparently like
Jesus.
One of the worst things that ever happened.
Because
those
guys are personally munched on by the devil like a snack for all time.
Right.
So Satan's just like chewing you up. I think it was kind of cool that in Dante's hell, Satan is not like
the leader.
He's not there to be the king and to preside over it and rule. He's there being tortured as well.
Right.
You know, he's got to just sit there in misery, eating people.
Well, that makes a lot more sense, though. Like, if the devil's in hell, he's not just the leader of hell. He's not the king of hell. He's the one. He's just like the fucking one being tortured the most.
Yep. He's just there in the center. Getting tortured. At least he gets to chew on some people. That
seems
well,
and he's only half
like
frozen. It seems like the people frozen solid have it kind of worse than him. I mean, he's got fucking snacks, at least.